Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, today, it's going to be a little bit more than that. It's going to be a combination of mind. It's going to be a combination of strategy power and money power. All of us are having to deal with the realities of the shifts and changes in the world around us. You go to the grocery store, everything's going up in price. Gasoline's gone up in price. And if you have family, members of your family, that are wanting to go back to school, especially your young people, and you're looking at what you're bringing in, like a parent I talked with just within the last 4 days. She said, I started a college fund for my child. We have exactly $100 in it because she and her family have had to deal with the everyday realities of life. You want your children to get an education? By golly, they can. The gentleman that I have with me today is going to give us some inside tips, Ryan Clark is his name, on what we can do to make sure that our children, if they're interested in going to college, if they really want to go to college, not all kids want to do that, but if they want to go to college, how can you manage the money aspect? It's paralyzing when you think that it may cost you well over $100,000, depending on what their major might be, and how do we deal with it? What options do we have? There's no magic bullet with this, but I think there are some strategies here that we can help you with. Ryan Clark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Glad to be here.
Now, your book is titled College Age Aid for Middle Class Americans. I was chatting with you before we went on air and mentioning how college costs have just gone through the ceiling. Here in the state of Washington, what they're doing to the students that reside in the state of Washington, the cost, it to me is just absolutely ridiculous. And I feel so badly for so many people who have really brilliant kids, like a woman that I was talking with. Her daughter is a straight-A student. She's on the honor roll, and she's looking forward to going to college. And she was just beside herself. She was just chatting with me. And then there's someone else that I talked with, and I'm going, I'm glad to know about your publication, because you have information here in College Age for Middle Class America that really could benefit just about anyone, and it's good to pass the wisdom along. Let's face it, bills have to be paid. How can someone avoid going broke that, in today's world, I know people that are just shaking their heads. They just don't know how they're going to manage it.
You're exactly right. It's college costs has gotten out of hand. And one of the reasons why is because we as parents and as consumers have allowed colleges to do that. We keep saying yes. We keep saying yes. They keep raising their prices. We keep saying yes. And now it's time to stop saying yes. And now it's time to take back the control as parents, as consumers, because we are the ones that are paying our hard income and our dollars and our savings to send our children to college. It's not the other way around. We should be picking the colleges. The colleges should be picking our sons and daughters. And we've allowed that to happen over the last few years. And so we need to start taking back the control. And we need to start creating competition between these colleges and then waiting until we figure out exactly how much it's going to cost to go to these schools before we make a decision.
And that is really a challenge. Ryan, you're the president and principal educational strategist of the Clark College Funding Incorporated. And you have really been working with helping families since 2003. And this has just been so beneficial to them. And just because people make, let's say, a good income, maybe the husband and wife are both working and maybe their combined salaries come to $100,000 gross, but after taxes and taking care of their financial responsibilities, even if they're frugal, and they have three or four kids, let's just say they had two kids, or the 2.5. I love those averages. I never figure out how we come up with 2.5 kids. Anyway, this is something that they really have to sit down and crunch some numbers. And
yeah,
let's get into this. You have, quote, you say, the price of a college for just one student now ranges, and these numbers just blew me away, $60,000 at a state college to over $200,000 for many private colleges, and that cost continues to rise 8 to 15% a year. I don't know of anybody's salary that rises or raises itself to 8 to 15% a year. It just doesn't happen.
That's exactly right. Even if you start saving when your son or daughter is a baby, and you're saving every year, every month, you're not getting 8 to 10 to 15% return on that money. So it's almost impossible, as it stands today, to keep up with the inflation of college. And so we need to do something different. And we need, like I said, we need to start taking back the control and driving this price back down, because this college bubble is here and it's going to bust. And
here
in the state of Washington,
it's going to bust big time. Here in the state of Washington, athletics are just absolutely unbelievably popular. And I am amazed when we can pay a coach over $1 million a year, $1 million or plus. I think the coach, from what I've been told, I'm not an avid sports fan, but from what I've been told, the top coach in the state of Washington at the University of Washington gets over $1 million a year. And this is such big business. And you made a comment. You say, the public wonders why colleges spend so much of their budget on athletics. You state it's the greatest form of advertisement to high school students. And I would say that is really a big aha. We have schools that are putting so much out for athletics, and I don't mind, you know, schools doing things like this. But at the cost, if a business were run this way, most businesses in this country would be belly up.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, when I try to introduce students to picking colleges and expand their minds, usually I'll ask them, well, what colleges are you thinking about applying to? And typically, for a normal student, it's the big schools, the big state schools that have the huge athletic programs that come to mind for most students. And that's fine. Those are great schools. But what I tend to find is just they're more familiar with those schools, and it's primarily through athletics, through the football team, through the basketball team, watching them on the weekends. And so that's why I say that. It's a great advertisement for colleges to get their name out there. We as parents, we have to say, you know what, those are great schools, but these other colleges that don't have the huge athletic budgets, that don't have the Division I football teams or basketball teams, you need to look at those colleges too, because they're great schools and they have wonderful educations.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to expand their minds and show them that there's great schools everywhere, just not the ones that have the big athletic budgets.
Now, in your book, you go through various mistakes that people make, which I really appreciated, because you're very clear. You are not playing games with people's heads. Just like what you've said, there are places where you can get your education that are outstanding. They actually, in many times, will offer what you really want in the way of education, depending on what that may be, what the student's interest might be. You say you've got to be aware that you have to plan so that you don't end up going broke for this younger member of your family that you really want to have well educated. And mistake number two that you are, one, number one, you say you're depending on the college's financial aid officer, an FAO for unbiased financial advice. I'm telling you, that really was quite an eye-opener, that chapter, because they're not necessarily going to give you the information you need. So you really have to be proactive in a much different way than perhaps you thought. Tell us why that is such a big mistake.
Sure, the financial aid officer, the financial aid advisor, they go by many different names. But they are very, very good people. I work with them on a day-to-day basis, and they try to do their best. But their job is to get the best student into their school for the least amount of money. And so they always they work for the college, and you have to keep that in mind as a parent. It's not a bad thing. You just got to know that there's a bias going into this that, you know, again, they're trying to get the best student into their school for the least amount of money. So it's not necessarily they're all working for the parents. That's not the case. They're working for the college, and they always have the college's best interest in mind.
Investing in a 521 plan. We have heard so much about that here in this state. They have that kind of a plan. Oh, put your money in this, put your money in this. And for some reason, it just never computed. But I don't have young people in my family at this time that are going to be going to college. So it just, I just sort of ignored it. Boy, I read this chapter and I said, oh my goodness, tell us why this is not a good idea, the 529 plan.
Sure. I'll give you a real life experience. One of my first parents I worked with, the mother was a teacher and she was getting ready to retire. And the father had already retired from IBM and they had three children. The first two children had already graduated from college, and the last child was in college at NC State here in North Carolina. And when I first met them, and this is when before I started really understanding how the college aid system worked back in the early 2000s, I looked at it and I said, I see that you're paying for college using cash flow and savings and also some CDs. I said, why don't we move this money into a 529 plan, and it'll potentially save you some taxes. They said, oh, okay, that sounds like a great idea. So we moved this money into a 529 plan, and it was an age-based 529 plan, meaning the age of the older child, it gets more conservative. So they invest this into conservative investments such as bonds and bond mutual funds. Well, a few months later, the market goes down, interest rates goes up, the bond values drop dramatically, and the parents' 529 plan, the value dropped dramatically. So they went from having their child's college education paid for to only having 1 year of college education paid for. And it was all my fault for moving this money into a 529 plan. So one of the first things I learned that even though it's a conservative investment, 529 plans can lose money. Not only that, when you start pulling this money out to pay for college, some colleges will reduce any need-based aid dollar for dollar for the amount of 529 plans that you take out to help pay for school. And then when I started looking at the taxes, we're all told that 529 plans, if you invest them, they grow tax-free, and if you pull them out to pay for college, that money is tax-free. Well, that's not necessarily the case in all cases. I encourage all your listeners to look at publication IRS Publication 9, 70, that's IRS Publication 970, and it reviews how, in a lot of cases, that 529 plan, all of it won't be tax-free. And so when I'm looking at this, and I look at 529 plans, I go, wow, I mean, it's not the worst place in the world. At least we're saving for money, but boy, there's certainly some bad things with 529 plans that a lot of parents don't think about when they start investing for college.
Well, that is so valuable. Because I think that too many times, if we have been financially conscientious, we are not aware, we're not paying attention to the fact that you're dealing with something that is going to flex. And anybody that deals in stocks, anybody that goes into those environments, you are taking a risk. That is a fact. But most people will think like your clients did, and even like you did when this situation happened. This is conservative. This is going to be okay. And then you have an economic downturn. Poof, it's gone. And all of the other things that you've pointed out. Now, there are some points that I really want to bring out. One of them is a mistake, and this is number five. You've got a number of them in your book. Believing that a degree from a so-called prestigious college will always enhance learning or guarantee you a better career. That myth, and it really is a myth, and I love how you bring this out. Why is it a mistake to say, well, you've got to go to Stanford, or you've got to go to MIT, or you've got to go to da-da-da-da-da, and people will sacrifice everything to make sure their kids go there. Why is that not the case?
You know, when I first moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, when I was working for a Fortune 500 company at the time, my neighbor was outside working in the grass, and I asked them, he was a retired man, and I asked him, I said, what did you do before you retired? And he said, well, I worked for a large corporation. And I said, well, what did you do there? And he said, well, you know what? I recruited other people from our competitors to come to our company. And I said, wow, that's an interesting job. I've never heard that before, and kind of told me about it. And I said, well, what did you look at to recruit those individuals to come to your company? I mean, what was it that stood out that made you want to go after them? And he goes, well, it was really about job performance and how successful they were at the job. And I said, well, do you look at, you know, where they went to school or where they got a degree? He said, no, you know, we're just looking to make sure they have a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really care where they went or what they graduated in. We're looking at job performance. And that was an eye-opener. And then when I kind of got in the real world working with different companies through my life, you know, once you get into a company, no one really cares where you graduated from. It's all about the person and your performance. The name on the degree might get you in the door, but after that, no one cares. And it's all up to the individual to make the difference. And that's
that
what I try
so
to stress
true.
In the book.
That is so true. I remember someone telling me the same thing years ago, that they had, their family had paid a tremendous amount of money for their education, which they were very grateful for. But they found that they could spout the name of the college, and it was a very large college. Nobody cared.
Right.
That what really made a difference is that this person had worked out on a ranch for so many years, organizing and doing different things, and they were interested. They wanted to know, was he a problem solver? Was he someone that was going to get the job done? Could he handle stress? It was really interesting to him. And he said when it came time for him as a mature individual owning his own company, he wanted to know the character of the person. He wanted them to be intelligent, obviously. But he said he found a lot of people that promoted big degrees were not competent, and he just didn't want that. He had a trial period, et cetera. So everything that you've said is so important. It really, really is. It dispels a myth, and that chapter is just really great. You say get a degree, any degree, and your child can give the bus driver the ticket so she or he can take that bus to any place he or she wants to go, which means the career, whatever it is that they're aspiring for. Now, you also bring out some points about finding the right college fit. Wow, we've got a neighbor. His daughter was just, she's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. She went to the University of Washington, which is a huge school. They have massive lecture halls, all this type of thing. She started flunking. She didn't like it. Finally, they realized she needed to be in a smaller school. She needed to be in an environment where she had an interaction had a capability of interacting with teachers and with other students. She was just so overwhelmed by the massiveness of the school. And she went to a smaller one. Her grades went up. She did a lot better. How do you determine what college fits your youngster or your student?
That's a great question. And sometimes we forget about that step and how important that step is. But almost 60 to 70% of students now are transferring from the first college that they attend. And to me, that is outrageous. And, you know, when you start transferring from college to college, sometimes that can add additional time to college and, of course, additional money. So if we can eliminate that step by picking the right college the first time, you can literally save yourself thousands of dollars in college costs. So one of the mistakes I see a lot of parents make and students make is they start out with two or three colleges that they really, really like, and then they try to build their list out from those two or three schools, which is a mistake. What we really need to do is we need to find out what the student is looking for in a college and find out what mom and dad is looking for in a college. So what I do is I have them go in separate rooms and I have them look at different criteria, if you will, size, location, safety, Greek life, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it has about 30, 35 different categories there, and I just have them circle their top five. And then we get back together and we put the list together and say, okay, these are the colleges that we're going to look for that meet all this criteria. And then we start out with, you know, the 4,500 plus colleges in the United States, and we eliminate all the schools that don't meet our criteria that we're searching for. Too far away, too close to home, too big, too small, doesn't have a football team, whatever it is that we're looking for, and we work our way down, and we eliminate 99% of them. But what's usually left over is maybe, let's say, 40, 50 colleges that fits what our mom and dad, what our son and daughter are looking for in a college. Okay? We still have 40 or 50 colleges. It's a lot, but we want to show them all the colleges out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we want to look at academically, is this a good fit? And so we want to eliminate the colleges we think are going to be too easy. We eliminate the colleges we think are going to be too hard. And we can base that upon SAT scores and GPAs. And then we look what's left and make sure out of the colleges we have left over, which one of these colleges typically give out money, help reduce the cost of college.
Mm-hmm.
And that reduces our list even more. And now we have a pretty good list, and it's usually anywhere from 6 to 10 colleges. And we take those lists and say, okay, these are the colleges we are going to visit. Because it might look great on paper, it might look good on the internet, but till we set foot on campus, we're never going to know if it's a great fit for our son or daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is just a very important thing to do. I know I had some friends whose daughter was severely dyslexic, and she ended up being an outstanding student, and that was the one thing that they had to work with. It was a smaller school, and she just excelled. She had to work 10 times harder than anybody else, but this school environment actually had a program that had tutors to help a student like herself get through the courses that she needed to do, which I just thought was amazing. And they used a coach like yourself that assisted them in a process that's very similar to what you're describing. And it really, really made a difference. Now, let's talk about financial aid. We will hear people say, I've said it, be sure to apply for scholarships. I did an interview, I think it was 10 years ago on my show, with a young man who managed to pay for his entire college education, which was $90,000. That was 10 years ago. He got scholarships, he got grants, and he had worked. He had done all the work himself, and he was able to pay for his entire college education. Well, that is wonderful. What can my listeners learn about how to be able to get grants, financial aid? Or what do we do here? I mean, this is really a quagmire you have to wade through.
It is, and I think the first step for all your listeners is just to become educated with the different types of financial aid that's out there for parents and students. The first aid that most parents are familiar with is merit-based aid, and merit-based aid is based upon the talent of the student. So that could be anything from your son or daughter is really good at playing the trombone, and so we're going to give you $5,000 to play the trombone, or it could be a basketball scholarship, but of course, it's based upon the talent. The next financial aid type of financial aid is need-based aid, and a lot of parents are familiar with that aid as well. And the formula for need-based aid really hasn't changed much since the late 1950s. This is the aid that most parents are familiar with because they talk a lot about this at the high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the formula is the cost of attendance, meaning how much it costs to go to a school for 1 year, so they add in tuition and fees and room and board and books and miscellaneous expenses. Then they subtract what's called your expected family contribution number, or how much they think you can afford to pay on a year-to-year basis. So they take the cost of attendance, they subtract how much they think you can pay, and what's left, if anything, is the maximum amount of need-based aid that you would receive. The third form of financial aid is the college's own money.
Hmm.
It's not need-based aid. It's not merit-based aid. It's their own money, and they can give it out to students that they want to recruit. Okay? And then, of course, there's fourth, which I call private scholarships or private aid, if you will, outside scholarships, meaning not money coming from the colleges, but coming from private organizations or nonprofit organizations, say the Coca-Cola Scholarship, or your local church or the Kiwanis Club or something like that. So there's millions of those as well. And any parent should try to go after all forms of aid, whether it be merit, need-based aid, the college's own money, or those private scholarships.
Big hat, no kettle. I love that. And that is referencing how a college degree can become a huge liability. Explain that.
Sure. Most parents think if I get my college degree, I'm set for life. And that's not necessarily true, because any type of asset is something that puts money in your pocket. A definition of a liability is something that takes money from your pocket. And a college degree can be an asset or a liability. There's a lot of people out there that have wonderful college degree, but it costs them a lot of money, and it's taken a lot of money out of their pocket. It's costing them more than what they're getting paid. They're underemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to be very, very careful with getting a college degree. And some parents risk it all and say, hey, if my son and daughter just goes to this named school, they'll get a great job when they graduate from school, and they'll spend hundreds of thousands or $200,000 of debt to get this education, and they do get a job, but it's not going to pay for those hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan debt. And
mm-hmm.
that's where we are, and a lot of parents are today. And that's where we don't want to be. So I tell my students, you know what, the name of the school doesn't make that big of a difference. Go get the degree. Try to save your money on your undergraduate degree, because you want your college degree to become an asset. You want it to have put money in your pocket. And the less you pay to get your undergraduate degree, the more your college degree is going to be an asset. And I think we all agree that having a college degree is very important in today's society.
Oh,
and typically, you're going to make millions of dollars more over your lifetime with a college degree. But if you have a huge debt, boy, it can be also a huge liability as well. So you just got to make that decision and make a good decision before your son and daughter gets emotionally attached to a school.
Well, I think it's very important. We've been talking about parents and responsibility. I think it's very important for young people to sit down. I'm a strong believer that they probably should work for a year after to get out of high school and get a real life, to understand what it is like to pay bills, to not just mooch off mom and dad and expect that life is going to be a comfort cushion. Because when you go to college, you have a lot of work to do. You're going to be supposedly treated like an adult. No one's going to be hovering around you and making sure that everything's perfect. That's your job. That's what you're doing. And you are being paid, honestly, by the parents if they're going to be doing it. So I really like the fact that you want to make the young people accountable. And I think that that is very important. And instead of mom and dad getting all emotional and, oh, this is just the best thing, say, wait a minute. This is something you need to make a choice about. If you want it, you're going to have to do it, because a lot of students quit. A lot of students, the parents are obligated then. They've got all of these bills, and whatever the reason is, they don't value it. They just waste their time. Maybe they flunk out, or they do all kinds of things. So I really like some of your suggestions. You call it the carrot and the stick. And you say you want to really make sure that the young people complete a career assessment study, which I think is great for adults. We've got a lot of adults going back to school, but primarily we're focusing on the younger generation right now. But this is so important, so absolutely important. And I just think that in your book you go into clarifying what's wanted, college standards, working with different challenges, and I just think this book is a wonderful resource. And, of course,
you
also work as a coach, and I know from people who have done this, instead of trying to do it all themselves, have used a coach, and it's been so beneficial. This is great. Now, I know we're almost out of time. You have a website that people can go to. You've got forms for them there. You've got all kinds of wonderful information. It's called Clark College Funding.com, ClarkCollegeFunding.com. And for those of you listening, maybe if you're like me, you don't have young people in the home, But this is information you can pass along to someone else. Let's face it, these are tough economic times. Education is so important. Learning how to think, being aware of the world in a bigger perspective, that is really what college often brings to a student, regardless of their age. But by golly, these costs are just going through the ceiling. So having college aid for the middle class America is a wonderful resource. Ryan, do you have a thought you'd like to leave with my audience before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I would say try to take back the control. Don't get emotionally attached to one school. Try to find multiple colleges your son and daughter would like to attend, and then wait until you get the final report card or how much it's going to cost before you obligate yourself to go to that school.
I just think that is a very good comment. It's a healthy one, and by golly, there's so much good information in this book, College Aid for Middle Class America. I'll tell you what, don't worry about middle class. If you are in a lower economic class, this is just as good a tool. If you've got a youngster that you are wanting to assist or help, get this book because it really gives you some phenomenal tips. And again, check out the website, ClarkCollegeFunding.com. Thank you, Ryan Clark, for being my guest today. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to take a break, and we're going to be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Many oral pain pills and concern about the side effects. Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hello, welcome back. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and you're more than welcome to give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Telephone number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I'm on my way to Alaska, so for those of you who are listening from that phenomenal state in the far north, I look forward to sharing time with you. I'm going to be up in Fairbanks and then in Anchorage, and I'm going to be on the Terry Wallace Show tomorrow. So for those of you who are regular listeners to the show, we are going to be doing a Best of Donna, and then I'll be back live in studio on Thursday, and we're going to be talking about something that I think you will enjoy knowing more about. It's called eco-literate. More and more individuals are deciding to take responsibility for changing what has been a negative impact of the human population on this beautiful planet we live on. Lisa Bennett is my guest on Thursday, and we're going to be talking about people who are proactive in making decisions and in working with young people to educate them on how they can be eco-literate. And then on Friday, we are going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, and that is animals. We're going to be talking with Lan Schwartz and her last summer with Oscar. Oh, this is just a phenomenal book. But I'll tell you what's even better about this is that she's going to give us nutritional information that is relative to dogs. And it is just marvelous. This lady is gracious. She's just as sweet as she can be. And then next week, aha, yes, this is the month when the spooks have priority. We're going to be talking about Washington, D.C. ghosts. Mm-hmm. Ah, I know. Well, it's just that time of year, so we're not going to want to miss out on that. And there's so many other things that go on, and I know every once in a while we have a change in programming, but hey, it's okay. We just work with it and go with the flow. But you'll know on the Donna Sebo Show, there's always going to be eclectic subject matter that, if nothing else, makes you aware that life doesn't have to be boring. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a story with you about a young man. His name was Chris Gross. He lived at the time that this event happened in Santa Clara, California. Now, he was a young man, and he happened to hear about 137 children who had lost at least one parent in a bombing event. It was a bombing event in Oklahoma City, and many of us remember that. That was a horrific day, absolutely horrific day. The federal building, well, if you happen to look at the old films and photographs of that, it's just mind-boggling. He was very deeply affected by this, and Chris asked a question of himself. Where would I be if my folks weren't around when I was growing up? It caused a lot of deep reflection within this young man. And he was working for a company, a major company, and he thought through what he wanted to do. And this is what he did. He called the CEO of the company he worked for. He said to them, "I am going to set up a fund for these children, and I'm going to donate my entire salary as an investment." Now, this young man was making $53,874. That was his annual salary. For 1 year, he was not going to take any pay. This money, his entire salary, was going to go into this fund. He challenged the company he was working for and 18 other individuals to match his gift so that this fund for these children would reach $1 million. Now, think about that. That is a phenomenal objective. Now, when he was interviewed, when Chris was interviewed about this, he said, "It's not easy not getting a paycheck." Now, at the time when he did this, he was 26 years old. He had four roommates. He had been living very frugally, so it wasn't that big a deal. He made a choice to give up everything that was coming into him. Do you know, when it was found out about what he was doing, other people in the state of California, it was the Central Coast region, they wanted to contribute too. There were benefit shows put on, concerts, seminars were held. The San Francisco Opera and the San Francisco Giants, when they heard about this, said, "We want to contribute to this too." Can you imagine what happened? Within 4 months, this young man, Chris Gross, had $525,000 in it. That's how fast that money came about. Because of a commitment. Can you imagine this being applied on different levels? We're in a country right now where we've got politicians that are acting like children. I don't often comment on political stuff on my show. But this is one time, this story is so powerful, in my view, that my thought is, what if we had politicians, I don't care what party they belong to, I'm not interested in that kind of ridiculous separation. What if this kind of commitment was made? I bet you we could be out of debt as a nation in less than 5 years. This isn't impossible. A 26-year-old young man witnessing an event saying, I'm willing to do what's necessary. I think that's what we need to remember. Where is the commitment? Where is the truth? No games, just hard work. Americans are known for being some of the hardest working people on this planet. This can be done, but you have to have the people with the right kind of thinking. If you don't, there's always excuses. There's always reason why something can be bandied about. Accountability is important, but also a commitment to something of value. It's bigger than yourself, and walking the walk, not just slapping the gums over the teeth, going, yeah, and smiling like an actor. No, walk the walk. It makes all the difference in the world. And this 26-year-old man was an example to all of us. And I think he's still an example at this time. And I'm so grateful that I had access to this story because I wanted to share it with you. Remember, it only takes one person to make a difference. And that's how significantly important all of you are. You are that one person. You may not feel that you can contribute very much. I have a friend. She doesn't have very much money. What does she do? She crochets. She makes things that she can give away at her church bazaars and or for family. Someone else I know makes blankets for babies. All of these people, we're all important. We all have value. Don't ever forget that. I know a woman that is dedicated to working for a food bank in my neighborhood. She's incredibly significant. Because she gives her time. She wants to be sure that families won't go hungry. And at the store, I'm seeing a lot more people with food stamps because they're out of work. You make a difference. Don't ever feel that you cannot contribute in life. But it takes that commitment, that contribution of self. Sometimes we can do it with money. Sometimes we do it with our time, our effort, or our energy. Sometimes we do it by living our life with integrity. And being an example for others. Sometimes we do it in teaching on one level or another. I just wanted to share that with you because I think it is extremely important. Donna Siebel here, 888-627-6008. If you would like to give me a buzz, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Also, I wanted to mention, I've got a class coming up for those of you that are listening in Western Washington. My class is going to be held on November the 3rd. This is Quantum Mind 4. It is the last class I'll be teaching this year. And I want to say it is going to be just absolutely, absolutely wonderful because we're going to give you tools to work with for 2013, which is going to be here before we know it. And what's going to happen? Robert Newman is going to be teaching the first part of the seminar. Now, on November 3rd from 10 until 4, put it down on your calendar. We're going to be here at Bridgeport Place in University Place, Washington, and we are going to be educating you and informing you on how you can live a healthier, richer life. Now, Robert is very knowledgeable about Chinese medicine. And so not only is he involved in feng shui and is a feng shui master, but he has studied this for so many years and is able to utilize it on a personal level. So you have a chance to talk to him about the keys of longevity and the history. In the second half of the class, we are going to be doing exercises that will demonstrate to you your own intuitive capacities. I love to teach. And teaching people about their own intuitive capabilities is so important to me because I want you to know that you have the talent, but it may operate in a particular way within you as an individual. The cost of this is $59.95. If you pay at the door, it's $75. So if you're interested, give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604, and we'll put you down so that you're pre-registered. 253-582-5604. It's a great way to go into the holiday season, know that you've got some tools to work with for a brand new year of 2013. And yes, we're not falling off the planet on the 21st of December. Oh, I've got to share something with you before we go to break. Great. We're going to go to break in just a minute. I know we've got a caller, and I'll be getting to that caller. But quickly, I want to tell you, one of my girlfriends is having a party on the 21st of December. And we're having a party, and we were chatting about how that is supposed to be a doomsday. Great. I said, well, why doesn't everybody bring something, their favorite food, and we'll just have a great time eating everything that we really like. I'm bringing fried chicken and chocolate. Yes, the two things in my life that I absolutely love. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. We're taking a break. I'll be getting to the caller shortly. So just bear with us. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. We've got a caller on the line. If you should want to call in, 888-627-6008. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being so patient and waiting. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Elaine from Lakewood.
Oh, hi, Elaine. In my own home turf. Okay. All right, Elaine, the first thing that I'm looking at is that you've got 4 different business matters that are going to be coming up to your attention in the next 6 months. Now, this is interesting to me because as I'm watching this, as I'm looking at it, it seems like 3 of the items that I'm looking at will be on, let's say, your desk that you have to go through and review all at once. And this is going to be a bit irritating to you and frustrating, but if you have someone you can sit with to go through these items carefully, because I'm watching your mind going off in different directions, you need someone that you can be with that will help you maintain your focus, because these 3 different sets of documents are related to each other. And you cannot just assume that you can do one way and have something else flow the other way, because it's going to cause some anxiousness and maybe some additional legal costs at a later date. So each of these 3 that I'm looking at that are going to have to be dealt with at the same time, could be insurance, could be anything, but they are legal documents. Again, I want to emphasize, make sure you have someone that you can sit down with that will be able to see their relationship and how the thinking regarding it has to be done thoughtfully and with a thoroughness so that there won't be any discord later on. And this is going to save you a lot of stress and anxiousness and money. So don't be in a hurry. When these documents come to your desk or to your table, you want to be sure you take care of them in a timely manner, but you get the work done. Also, what I am watching is some travel, and I know that this is something you really enjoy, but I'm seeing you stressed over a travel agenda. You feel like too much is being put into the schedule. You're correct. So what I would say to you is say no. Say no to what you know is inappropriate, because you're going to end up coming back from whatever this travel is entailing, feeling as if you missed a great deal. And if you follow your own instincts, don't go by somebody else's timetable, but listen to yourself, you are going to come back from this trip feeling a lot better about the interaction with people. You're going to feel a lot better about how you have been able to have conversation with individuals that there hasn't been that opportunity to have conversation with to the degree that you'd like. And 2013 is going to be just an incredibly busy year for you. It's going to just, you're going to feel like it's just evaporated. This year has been very busy, but you're going to have some quiet time. I call it like a limbo period between the middle part of November and I'd say the first to second week of January. I want you to enjoy this. I want you to really enjoy that limbo period. Don't worry that a lot of things are just not getting done to the degree you want. Enjoy the limbo period. Take care of the small stuff, and the bigger stuff will take care of itself. What would you like to ask me today?
Well, you were right about the trail. And I don't know if this is the same trip, but I'm headed to China. Please give me good advice on what you think, or advice for me before I travel. So I thought I'd ask you.
Okay, your voice is very soft, and I'm not hearing the question. What was the question again?
I'm headed to China, and I wondered what you saw and if you had any advice for me.
I think what I just said is very important. I think you must be aware of your schedule. I am looking at a fatigue that I think could create a lot of disorder in the body. So don't try to jam a whole bunch of stuff in and allow your body to adjust. How long are you going to be in China?
About a month.
All right. That sounds like a good deal of time. But if you go according to everybody else's timetable, you're just going to feel like you've been put on a merry-go-round. So you need to be more forceful about what is right for you. And I would say give yourself 2 to 3 days to get your body to adjust to the different time zone and to the foods you're going to be eating, that type of thing. Eat lightly and just be aware that you're going to have an excellent trip, but only if you make sure you say no to what you don't want to do. Because apparently on this trip, having conversation and time with certain individuals is paramount to you, and that's what you need to keep in mind.
Okay, great advice.
Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, Donna.
Have a wonderful, wonderful day and a fabulous trip to China. This is Donna.
All right. Thanks.
Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm having to say goodbye to Elaine. But also, my goodness, before I know it, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. I had an awesome story. But I'll share that with you at another time about a fabulous, fabulous dog and a owner that was able to do something with this dog that nobody would have thought possible. You think dogs can get MS? They can. This is Donna Siebold. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is so important for you to realize that you have been given the gift of life so that you can take your talents, whatever they may be, and demonstrate them to the fullest. And I want you to know it's a journey. You're never going to get to that aha of ahas. It just doesn't happen. It's an ongoing process. And I'll tell you something, if you can be okay with that and take joy in the moment, you're going to find your life is so rich and so full that you'll always have a smile on your face. And when someone asks you how you are, you're going to say, I'm utterly magnificent. So on that note, I am wanting to share with you the joy of the now. And I'm so grateful to you being with me today. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to share this hour with me. And though tomorrow will be a best of Donna, I'll be back live with you from Fairbanks, Alaska on Thursday, and I'll be up in Anchorage all the way through to the first part of next week. But we'll be talking with you live. No matter where Donna Sebo goes, this show comes to you live from wherever I am. God bless. Have a magnificent day. We'll talk with you soon. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.